Field 909 is Senator Hallett coming? You're not here for Senator Hallett?
No.
John, would you have somebody call Senator Hallett? Is there a sign up sheet, is there a sign up box?
Yeah.
Keith Kinsman?
Thank you, Senator. My name is Keith Kinsman, I'm a deputy district attorney in Clackamas County. I didn't sign up to either for or against this bill. I would like to make some comments on it. And again, I am representing Roger Rook, district attorney in Clackamas County. We don't have any position on whether this kind of bill is desirable or not. We think that of at least equal priority to this kind of bill is compensation of victims of crime. And this, of course, does award to any defendant who is either acquitted or the criminal action is terminated, is the language of the bill, a reasonable attorney fee. I think that what it would result in is many less dismissals than there are right now. For example, let me give you the example of cases that we dismiss because a young man is going into the service, and we feel that it's the kind of case that's appropriate for dismissal, and we dismiss it on the condition that he go into the armed forces. This apparently would reward him in that kind of case by giving him a reasonable sum for attorney's fees. I think that also they should spell out in this bill, if you're going to recommend its passage, that he either have an attorney or spend some money for an attorney. This seems to be independent of that. Perhaps provision that either a reasonable sum or his actual expenses, whichever are less, would be a reasonable way of stating it. Because this seems to, in a traffic situation, if we charge, if a police officer gives somebody a ticket and it's filed, a criminal action is started, there's some reason that we don't to go forward on it. I think driving while suspended is an excellent example of this. We try very few of those because very few people are validly suspended by the Department of Motor Vehicles. Lots of them we move to dismiss long before trial, after arraignment. Many of those people don't have never hired an attorney, never intend to hire an attorney, even if it would go to trial. And the case is dismissed. This would give them a reasonable sum. I assume that a reasonable sum would be somewhere upwards of $150 in each case. I'd like to point out those things to this committee as it discusses and thinks about this bill. We think there'd be a lot less dismissals. It also seems to cover the situation where a criminal action is started against somebody. He pleads guilty to some other crime. If it's not lesser included, we generally initiate another criminal action. For instance, if he's charged with a criminal activity in drugs in a circuit court, and we allow him to plead to a misdemeanor in district court, we initiate technically a new criminal action in district court against him. He pleads guilty to it, and it's terminated by dismissal in the circuit court. This bill, again, would seem to allow him reasonable attorney's fees for the circuit court action that was terminated.
Senator Keith Burns.
Waiver provision would take care of almost all of your objections.
I think it would.
And what you mean by waiver? Well, say we'll dismiss this. We're going to dismiss this on the condition that you waive the payment of attorney's fees. We'll make that part of the plea bargain.
It would be something else that we would be adding
discretion
to
the judge. Pardon me? The discretion of the judge. Or proof. I just put a waiver in there that take care of, he wanted to go in the Army, they want to get rid of the case, and I decided we are.
I think that'd be sufficient, it'd be actually in the discretion of the district attorney and the defense attorney as to whether they can arrive at that decision.
I don't think it's a practical matter, it'd make any difference between the attorney and the district attorney or whether the judge, I wouldn't care either way. I'm not sure.
Yes, I understand.
Wouldn't really this add to the bargaining power of the defense attorney? Because he's, I'm sure a lot of these cases are taken by attorneys who recognize they're not going to get a thing out of it. So then he's going to be counseling with the poor guy who's going to decide whether he goes to the Army or whether he continues to fight the case. Now the counsel he's receiving is going to be from his attorney, and no doubt the counsel of the witness is going to be heavy upon his decision. My question is that the proper way to give him best counsel?
I guess he could develop a conflict there.
And his attorney advising his client on the way to fees, and we could just,
that could be corrected by taking out the word shall and providing for attorney fees and description of court. They would take care of the aggravated case.
I think the situation that a waiver would not take care of is, again, the minor traffic situation. A guy is charged with violation of the basic rule. He does not hire an attorney. He comes to court, and I think everybody knows that a lot of traffic court judges deal with those things on an equitable rather than a legal basis, that a judge finds him not guilty, and under this he would have to award him reasonable attorney's fees when the guy's gone to trial and won without having hired an attorney.
Yeah, but it says on account of the attorney fee of the accused. That seems to
pin it
down.
It seems to at least have some language in that area. I think I'd recommend a very clear statement that he must have expended money on an attorney before he could be repaid for it.
You want to submit
I could.
I don't
know if Mr. Roberts, I don't know what his comments are going to be, and I may do
you
it through
it. Mr. Roberts can agree among you.
Yeah.
You both want to, or if either one of you will
undertake it.
Fine.
As a young man and an idealistic attorney, I'm sure, I'd like to, this opens up a can of worms. I think bothers layman a great deal. You know, we have an adversary process all through our legal system. I can sue you for $1 million and nothing stops me from it. I can sue the case. You have to get a lawyer and defend. And here we have these same matter. But we've never really compromised the point that it's a free and open legal system and get the best lawyer you can or that you can afford. And nobody takes any cognizance of the fact that you can't always afford the best or anybody at all. I wish you'd comment philosophically about this, and you said that you're not in a position on the point itself.
I think it's an excellent idea in many cases if we had the money. I don't frankly think that the state is in the position to be paying that kind of money on traffic cases, on misdemeanors. I think that obviously if somebody's charged with a serious crime, if he's obviously, or if the court finds him not guilty, there should be some way that even though he's a rich man, that he should be repaid in some manner for the money he's had to spend. Of course, if he's a poor man, he'll have an attorney appointed for him or a public defender representing him. But I don't think that it's my idea that even a rich man, if he's unjustly accused, and of course, if it's so unjust, that is what we have suits for malicious prosecution for, and that's the way it's been taken care of in the past.
Go ahead.
Do I understand you to say that philosophically you approve this concept that says the fiscal limitations won't bother you?
Philosophically, I approve of it in at least serious cases. I'm not sure if I approve of it in the traffic misdemeanor cases.
Senator Ivers.
Well, I think I share the concerns of Senator Hoyt. I think it's opening up something that until we take care of the innocent victim of crime, until we work out somehow we can compensate him, there are very few defendants in criminal actions that there hasn't been some reasonable justification. Now, if he gets off on a technicality, or I can see where maybe witnesses, the necessary witness would be unavailable and the case is dismissed or something, but actually that fellow's probably guilty. And I don't think we should get into compensating him until we take care of the innocent victim. But I had one specific question. I suppose it would be virtually impossible to come up with any estimate of what it would cost the state on something like this. It's
this must be referred to wage and lien subsequently.
I don't know.
I don't. But it just seems it would be staggering. I'm opposed to it.
I do know that many DA's offices do and many DA's offices do not. I have records of how many cases are dismissed. I don't know if the figures are even developable.
Senator Keith,
it occurs to me that maybe what this bill is aimed at is sort of the DA's office freezing about a dozen indictments on somebody. And they know good well they're going to hit the guy someplace along there. And he has to wade through all those counts and indictments, and they finally get him on one. But they almost blackmail first in pleading guilty because he just can't afford trial those cases. And maybe if he had the money, he could trial those cases and be acquitted. Not because I'm not saying that someplace in there wasn't an unlawful act committed. I'm not saying that, but it's a hell of a way to prosecute somebody just by virtually blackmailing them and pleading guilty.
You know, if you added a waiver, I think you could get into an unethical situation where the attorney would be in conflict with his client.
That's what
Judge Smith brought up.
I think that's a real possibility unless you get the judge in there.
Thank you, Mr. Kinsley.
Thank you.
Mr. Roberts?
Thank you, Senator Brown. I, first of all, must say that this particular bill has not been discussed by the District Attorneys Association, by whom I'm employed, at least not in any official meetings, and there's been no official position taken, so I do not speak on behalf of the association. I'm speaking for myself as one who has spent 4 years as a district attorney and has some familiarity with the criminal process. And I must apologize to the committee that I do not yet have these comments in typed form, but I will submit them to you next week for your file. With reference, I would just like to make this comment with reference to multi-count indictments. As Senator Burns just mentioned, sometimes there are many charges apparently against the same defendant. However, under recent court decisions, the state is required to join all prosecution for all offenses arising out of the same incident and cannot conduct separate cases. So if there are separate trials in this kind of a case, it is at the defendant's election rather than at the state's election. Defendants sometimes do request separate trials on separate charges, but this is not something that can be attributed to the state any longer after Supreme Court decisions in 72. Now, philosophically, I would approve the concept that is proposed in this bill, but I just don't think this bill is going to be workable. The reason I would approve the concept is that I believe in an ideal society, a defendant who is not in fact guilty of a crime shouldn't really have to bear the cost of proving his own innocence, in effect, or let's say defending himself against the prosecution. If he didn't in fact commit it, if he's a victim of some kind of mistake or miscarriage of justice, he ought to have some insurance against that. And if a trial in our system were in fact what its ideal is, and that is a search for truth without any bars to that search for truth, and if therefore an acquittal or dismissal did in fact reflect a probability that the defendant was not guilty of the charge, there was some direct correlation between his guilt and the conviction, then this concept might be workable. But the problem is that there are too many aspects of today's criminal procedure which are not related directly to guilt or innocence, but are related strictly to technical matters. And, of course, the classic example is the exclusionary rule of evidence, which we now deal with. The courts, when they have adopted and promulgated this rule, have stated that the purpose of the rule is not to guarantee that evidence is truthful. The purpose of the rule is to exclude evidence which may admittedly be truthful and valid evidence and may actually show a defendant's guilt. The purpose of the rule is to release an admittedly guilty defendant as a deterrent to police or the prosecution or whoever to prevent them from committing certain types of acts in the future, which...
Yeah, well, let's not get sidetracked on the exclusionary rule. Do you think there's any additions in language that you could propose that would make this workable?
I don't think so. Under our present system, I just don't think there's any way that you can sufficiently correlate a dismissal of an action with the defendant's innocence to achieve what I believe to be the ideal thought here. And I just really don't think you can do it. And I will agree with what Senator Ivers already mentioned, that to me there are other places more that are crying out more for public money, such as the victim of the crime, I think has a much greater need for some consideration than the defendant who's being tried.
Have you put in a bill on the victim of the crime?
No, I have not, but there is one in. I haven't spent a great deal of time studying it as yet.
Questions of Mr. Roberts? Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Betty Roberts' bill was on, and she called, but she was ill. So I've taken that off, and Halleck was notified, and we can't get in touch with him. So I guess we'll hold this bill until we can hear from him. Mahoney had a bill on, and he's in Portland. So that pretty much disposes. If you want to look at Senate Bill 28, Senator Smith asked for another fiscal estimate, and whether this one really answers the question you were asking or not, I don't know.
That was requested.
Do you have it, Bob?
No, I don't. In the front. Oh, it's right here.
Yeah.
As I mentioned before, the Social Services drafted this because so many district attorneys don't want to bring these things. The kids get to be 12, 14 years old and nothing's done, and they're no longer likely to be adopted. We felt if the Attorney General were also to have concurrent jurisdiction to bring it, that it might put enough pressure on so somebody would. Does the fiscal answer your question?
Let's see if I can remember what this is. This is the bill that includes the Attorney General.
Right. Now the District Attorney.
With the District Attorney.
Right. At the present time, it's just the District Attorney. And they meet untenable delays in service for the District Attorney.
You can't blame them, they're all over the world. Some people have different opinions. Different attorneys, district attorneys have different opinions and priorities. And what has happened is some around the nation. The kids do get shelled. Right. It ought to be a good option.
Does that answer your problem, Bob?
I don't think my question was the cost really to the state. I was thinking about something else.
Madam Chairman, I think we were discussing whether or not the local district attorney should be charged for the services. Either the way that the attorney general is running his office, maybe he'll feel free to charge them. Oh, I know what we want to know. For the children's services going to pay for that? That was our question.
Yeah, that was the question.
That was the question.
I'd assume whoever asked for the intervention, either the court or children's services, one or the other.
That was the question. Who was going to pay for it?
And that isn't answered.
Yes, it is.
Down to discussion?
Under discussion, right?
Okay.
Children's Services Division would be required to pay the fee.
See, the request.
Well, then there's the subsequent legislative fiscal dated February 7th, which doesn't clearly jive with the one before it, saying that would not necessitate a change in the children's services budget.
That's not right, is it?
I'm on the call. Well, maybe they figure they can swallow that.
They can't absorb it. They don't absorb anything, right? I'll tell you.
There actually won't be very many of these, Madam Chairman. But when a case like this occurs, it's real critical for that child's well-being.
The hope is there won't be any.
I think the point was, as has been pointed out, you know, if Children's Services didn't pay it and the counties had to pay it, the question was, are we passing again legislation, which is forcing them more responsibility to the counties that they must pick up out of their pockets. And that was the reason we requested this feedback. And I have to agree, they estimate here in discussion that the X number of cases would cost $9,000, and they say over here that there's no reason for a change in the budget of the Children's Services Division.
Do you think so? Out of a multi-million dollar budget, they can't dig up $5,000?
Well, I can only tell you they come into the Virtue Board
every month,
and they amend their budget in the area you know.
Because we were giving them everything.
Yeah.
That's why. They really had to...
You were given everything.
No, I was voting no. I was voting no on most things. I don't know. I just can't see the 5,000 kind of breaking.
Well, I'll tell you what I would like. I would like a letter from the Children's Services Division saying that they're going to pay for it when they order the Attorney General's assistance, they're going to pay the bill. That's what I want.
Okay.
A letter from Children's Services Division.
All right.
If they say that, that's all right with me.
Very good.
So I don't care where they get the money.
Okay, anything else anybody wants to